This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening.
Love you. I hope every one of you have a magnificent Thanksgiving and enjoy being with your family this week. We're just delighted that all of you are here today. And how many of you are thankful really every day for what the Lord has done and the family that God has blessed you with, the church that God has blessed you with, the salvation, and the greatest gift is Jesus. And we all have access to Him through repentance and water baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We all have access to Jesus. And that's the beautiful thing about it. Doesn't make any difference who you are. You can press your way through the crowd. You can touch the hem of His garment. You can be made whole. And there's power in that. So I want to share with you today what the Lord has been dealing with me over the past, probably very strongly and urgently, 10 months. There have been times when I was in prayer that God would move me with this thought, and I would be held with such a vice grip. I would tremble under His presence as the Lord would resound these words in my mind over and over again. And for some reason or another, I wanted to preach it, but I just couldn't seem to form the message, the words, and craft them on the anvil of God's word to be able to share it with you till about 3 weeks ago. Held in the grip of grace, the Lord spoke to me and said, "It's time for you to speak this word to the people. I've anointed you to speak it." And I said, "Well, what is it that you really want me to do?" And I just felt so strongly, "I want you to call my people home." He said, "I want you to call the broken. I want you to call the wounded. I want you to call the hurting. I want you to call the backslidden, those who have given up on the apostolic message, thinking it doesn't matter whether we live holy or doesn't matter whether we baptize in Jesus' name or not. The Holy Ghost told me to call everyone home." And I could feel the urgency. I mean, I wish you could have just been there in all of those meetings with the Lord where I felt such a grip on my spirit and I would just shake under the power of God, because I believe that the time is now, because I can sense in this service the urgency that Jesus is coming soon. And we've got a window of opportunity. And what a harvest field of just people who were former members of this church. So no matter what your issue is, no matter what your crisis is, no matter what your situation, God is calling you home. Come home. That's the word that the Lord wants to speak to you today. God bless you. You may be seated. In a book written by Ann Tyler some years ago, she writes about an interesting character by the name of Ezra. Now, Ezra's entire life was wrapped up in cooking. And how many of you can say amen to that? And preparing meals, feeding people was his way of caring for them. And he made friends with a particular lady called Mrs. Scarlatti, who owned, as you can guess, Scarlatti's restaurant. And he worked for her, and eventually she turned the business over to him, and he tried various menus and themes for the restaurant. But one day, the idea came to him that he would cook what people were homesick for. And there was a man who loved to eat the tacos sold by a California vendor from his home. And so he learned how to make those tacos. And every time that man came in, he made those tacos from that California vendor. He learned to do this on more than one occasion, or the vinegary North Carolina barbecue that one of his patrons had brought to him by his mama, because he remembered those ribs his mama used to cook. Can anybody give me a witness in the house? And to these dishes, he added other items, items that people longed for, and he named his restaurant Homesick Restaurant. And it was largely successful because he knew the truth about all of us. We're all homesick for something. And so I was researching on YouTube, trying to find the right song, and of course, coming home, the old hymn. And so I was searching for that hymn, and I was searching for the words, and I found another song that didn't have anything to do with the hymn. I found the hymn, finally, on YouTube, and it was great, you know, and I got all those words, and that was powerful. But there was another song performed by Skylar Gray. It was a very powerful song. The words were written uniquely by a man or an artist called Dirty Money. I don't know Dirty Money. Don't know anything about him. But he wrote these words, and Skylar Gray perhaps performs it the best. And it's this, and here's my text. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom waits. They've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. I'm back where I belong. Now let me just stop now and just say, if Dirty Money has homesickness like this in his heart, what would it be like? Now, he might be a backslidden Pentecostal preacher's kid for all I know. But I'm telling you, these words are powerful. He said, I've never felt so strong. I'm back where I belong. And I've come to tell somebody, you're back. I've come to tell somebody, you're back where you belong. You don't belong in this world. You don't belong eaten up with your pain and your mistakes. You belong here. And if you've ever lost a light before, this song's for you. The dreams are for you. Tell the world, I'm coming home. The Bible's filled with this. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether God's going to use what I'm saying here today to speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and bring backsliders from all over the world back to different places. I don't know if that anointing is going to fall on Brother and Sister Shirley, and wherever they go and minister, people will be called back home. Brother and Sister Simmons, I don't know if that's going to be, if it's a prophetic word or just the expression of my desire and my hunger. But the Bible is filled with it. It's God calling Jacob back home in a dream after 20 years in Laban's house. And even Laban, his enemy, admitted that he understood. I understand you want to go home. I can get that. But then, of course, it's Joseph saying, don't leave my bones in Egypt. When you come out of this and God performs his promise, I want you to bring me home. It's David saying, how shall the ark of God come home to me? Because there's just some things you can't get at church. You got to go home with it, and it's got to go home with you. Pentecostals just coming to church on Sunday morning, and that's the only time you get anything from God. That day is over. We need to bring this home with us. Solomon called heaven his long home. It's Paul instructing the Corinthians about communion in 1 Corinthians 11:34. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. If any man hunger. Now just think about that for a moment. Why did he say that? Why did he have to teach the Corinthian church to behave themselves in church? Oh, that's why I have to teach y'all how to behave. But when you come to church, what he was trying to tell them is when you come to church and prepare the communion, you don't need to eat the meal because you can't get full at church. You need to do that when you go home. This is just the inspiration. This is just the direction. So you'll know what to do when you get home. Now, we don't come to church and take it lightly. You don't just come to view it as an end in itself, because it has no power alone that you have decided to get up this morning. Thank you. And come to church on this Sunday morning. It doesn't have any power alone. But when it's connected to Calvary, when it's connected to the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when it's connected to communion and partaking of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, it has power. It's a place to examine ourselves to find out, are we really living this at home? It's not good enough to say, I'm a Christian at church. We don't just come to church and then we put Jesus on the back burner for the rest of the week and decide whether or not we're going to serve the Lord when we come back the next Sunday. And thank God I'm back on next Sunday, refill my tank so I can go out and do whatever I want to for the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that anymore. You need to serve God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Well, Friday and Saturday too, hallelujah. But if you want to get full, you need to learn how to build your home around Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving's almost here. How many of you love Thanksgiving? Some of you look like you celebrate it more than once a year. I won't mention any names. How many of you have those taste buds of meals that you ate when you were a child and we were all kids and around the table, and Mama and Momo and Aunt Nell, and everybody would fix those favorite things, that pecan pie. Does anybody feel the Lord now? Pouring ice cream on it with that whipped cream all around it. Nobody feels it here today, I'm telling you. I think I'll hold you over today. I feel like going to at least 2 o'clock, don't you? But there's food that tastes like home. And that's really what church is. It's where you get the food that tastes like home. There's a hunger for home within every person. Why the talk of food? Why would Jesus do it like this? Well, he always pointed to the natural world to give us understanding of the spiritual world. He said, consider the lilies. A farmer went out to sow. A certain man had two sons. Always comparing it. Jesus made sure that when Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she was healed for a good purpose. She cooked dinner, praise the Lord. Jesus made sure that Jairus' daughter, once she was healed, he gave specific instructions. Give her something to eat. Jesus made sure that after the resurrection, there was breakfast on the fire when his disciples returned from fishing all night. Yes, there's a hunger in the body, but there's also a hunger in the soul. Is anybody hungry for a real move of God? Is anybody hungry to be free from the oppressiveness of this world? There's a need in the hearts of men and women. We're not born as rocks of the mountain that need nothing and require nothing. We have numerous needs. We need there's something in us that cannot be fed by pecan pie. There's something in us that cannot be fed alone by turkey and ham. We need something more. It's a hunger for our long home. It's a hunger to see Jesus. And when I come to church, I can't get full here, but I can get a taste of what it's going to be like when we get over there. I get a taste. There's an ache in our heart, cannot be cured with 2 aspirin and a doctor's visit, but it's a yearning, it's a desire. When the Lord chose to describe the place he would take us for all eternity, he called it his Father's house, a phrase used some 75 times in Scripture. Because you see, I believe the reason he did that, if heaven's not home, we wouldn't want to go there. But how many of you, the Bible says, eternity has been placed in our heart by God. There's something in us that calls us to that eternal home. And I just want to remind you, because I love you, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. I said you're going to spend eternity somewhere because your soul is eternal. But it's either going to be at home in heaven or it's going to be estranged from God forever in hell. But I promise you, my friends, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And you might as well come home now and get a little taste of what heaven's going to be about. You remember how it used to be. You remember how you used to pray, how you used to clap your hands, how you used to praise the Lord, how you laid out in the altar and blessed the Lord and was laying hands on people and praying for them. You was excited about Jesus. I come to tell somebody, you can have that again. You don't have to live the rest of your life deprived of that. Hallelujah. David was surrounded by his enemy, and he was just tired. You ever just got tired of the battle? Tired of fighting? Tired of getting up on Monday morning, going to work? Tired of screaming, crying kids? Y'all afraid to say amen? I understand that. You're afraid you're going to go home to more of it. They're always wanting something. Mama this, mama that. How many times did they say mama in a day? 8,472.6. Over and over again. They're always pulling on you. You get tired of the battle. Well, he got tired of the battle and he said, oh, that somebody would give me drink from the water of Bethlehem. What was he asking for? He was asking for a simpler place and time. 3 men hurt him. They broke through the line. They did their little Delta deal. Special forces. Got through the line. Whooped up on the enemy. Snuck up on him. I mean, that's where our Delta force comes from, right there. Those 3 men. They snuck behind the line. Brought him a drink of water, brought it to David and say, here it is. You wanted a drink from the wells of Bethlehem. And if all you'd have to do today is say, God, if you could just give me that water again, he would dispatch angels from heaven. They would fight
all of hell to break through the line and say, oh, you want to know what it's like to come home? Let me give you a taste. Somebody needs to stand up in the face of all the opposition and say, tell hell, I'm coming home. Tell the world, I'm coming home.
That's what it's all about. Because sometimes you long for that taste. And you say, well, they won't forgive my mistakes. Well, if a worldly song can tell you and feel confident that if I can make it home, they'll forgive me, I believe you can pretty much count on it. You say, well, how do you know that? How are you so confident? Because that father's waiting on the porch. How do I know that I'll be able to recover what I've lost? Wherever you left it, it's still there. Because it's not an experience. It's a person that you're looking for. It's not just simply an admission into a church service. You're looking for the one who died on the cross. I'm looking for Jesus here today. I'm not looking for anybody else, but if the Messiah, if the promise comes walking down the dusty road, I believe somebody can find him today. All you got to do is say, give me a drink. Give me a drink. He said, that's what I've been waiting for. Hell, where are you? I'm going to come after you with everything I've got. Devil, I come against you with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can make it back. Come home. Come home. There's such a glory in this house right now because I'm honoring the true ministry of reconciliation, not the ministry of somebody's judgment or somebody saying this and that and the other. True ministry of reconciliation. Home is where all your needs are met, or at least it should be. I hope I'm not going to overstate this, but I just feel like something's flowing out of this place all over the world right now. We got people online, over probably 300 or 400 people online right now watching this. It's going out all over. People are being impacted. Come home. God is sending forth that call. It's been in my spirit for 10 months. I've been shaken under the power of the Holy Ghost for 10 months, and I couldn't get it all together until about 3 weeks ago. It began to form, and I began to realize we have a responsibility to open our doors to the backslider, to the hurting, to the broken, to the wayward Pentecostal, and say, I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care who you might have thought you let down. It's not enough to stay away from the touch and that water from the well of Bethlehem. You need to come back to the source.
You need to come back home and you need to touch the hem of his garment. You may have to press your way through a few people and elder brothers and this and that and the other. I can't do anything about that, but I can tell you this. The door is open and the Father is waiting on the porch, and all he needs is to see you come down the road, and he will leap from the porch and run to where you're at. Amen. Home is knowing God, where our focus should be on the foundation of our home and not the location of our home. Got to focus on the foundation, building it on Jesus, on the rock, solid rock. In the biography of Jean Young, she passed away of liver cancer in 1994. She was the wife of Andrew Young, the civil rights activist, Atlanta mayor, UN ambassador. She was quite a lady. Her experiences, her determination, her teaching abilities were just absolutely legendary and incredible. In her biography, something sticks out. She remembers when her grandparents used to sit on the front porch waving at everybody that went by. You don't see that anymore. You can even put a Facebook post on and very seldom ever get a wave from anybody. I mean, I can't even get a wave on Facebook. That's the generation we live in. She was saying that we've moved to the back porch from the front porch, and we've put a fence around the back porch so nobody knows we're home. And we've got covered garages that whenever we pull our car in, we put the garage door down so nobody knows whether or not we're home or not. They got to come and beat on the door and beat on the windows to find out whether or not we're home, because they're not on the front porch anymore. Of course, she was saying that whenever a politician or somebody important came to the Deep South to meet people, he had to get out and touch those people or they wouldn't vote for him. He had to get out and touch those people and look them in the eye and let them know, you're important, I see you. Because they wouldn't vote for you, they wouldn't do it. But now we're in the chat rooms. We're online. And really, the chat rooms remind you of the old party lines of the rural. How many of you can remember the old party lines? Some of you old enough? Yes, some of you. Brother Abe is, for sure. Y'all remember, see? The old party lines. You pick up the phone, you listen to everything. And if they don't know that you're listening to everything, they're just telling all kinds of things. You can learn all kinds of things picking up the phone. I used to do that at my grandpa's house. It was wonderful. I was getting an education. So you got to understand, we've moved into a whole new level. And if the church doesn't step up to reach out and touch people, it won't be done by this secular world out there, because they're cruel and the love of many has waxed cold. But I'm not gonna let that culture affect who we are as Jesus' name apostolic people. So I want you to go home and put the blood on the doorpost and say, devil, you can't come in here, because this home is off limits and the blood's on the doorpost of this church. Devil, it's off limits and you're not allowed here. You're not allowed here. You can't have any of these lambs in the house. Final point. Very important. 2 Chronicles 27:1. I want y'all to put that on the screen, because it's an important point that I want to make. It's the final point. And it's important for you to understand, because I didn't quite understand it until I read this, and then God kind of opened my understanding and gave me the reason he put this in the Word. Jotham was 25
years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was also Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he never went to church. That's my interpretation. He never went to church. And then the very next text, and the people did yet corruptly. I've had people say, well, and all you older people, don't listen to this. I'm talking to the younger generation, okay? I've had people tell me, I don't have to go to church to serve the Lord. I've got a relationship with God, and I don't need church. The Bible says you're right. The Bible says you're right. Wow. When I saw that, it's not that not coming to church won't hurt you. It just poisons everybody around you. My, 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 my. I'm just going to declare it. It will poison everybody around you because you can't get clean. It's the wake you leave behind you. It's the attitude that you have about everybody. You cannot, unless you get in the presence of Jesus, change your attitude about fallen, imperfect people who've been redeemed just like your sorry hide got redeemed. We got all redeemed by the same cross, the same blood. Oh, I'm telling you, church, we need to come to the house of God and be here. So I've come to declare to you, it's time to come back home. A poor church threw a large feast and invited everybody in the town to come out. And when they all came out, the pastor got up and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a great feast, a love feast where no one's a stranger." And then he said, "We've all got secrets, hurts, things happened long ago. We're all scared of something and lonesome. But most of the time we keep it hidden. It's like every one of us has lost our way so bad, but we don't want to ask directions. I wonder what would happen," this is what he said, "if we would own up to the fact we're lost and we would just stop and ask directions." He said, "I believe if we did that, we'd find our way home. And when we find our way home, we would find each other again. And we would find Jesus." We find out that Jesus loves us, lost or found, or any which way he can get to us. So I ask you this question. Have you lost the recipe for hope and harmony? Come home. What caused the disciples to go back to the same table they spent the Last Supper with Jesus after his crucifixion before they recognized he was resurrected? It was homesick. They gathered. I'm sorry, I didn't ask anybody, but I changed the name of the church for one service. I was going to go out to the sign and change it, but that just takes too much money. We're the first homesick church of Pensacola for today and every other day in the spirit. You say, "But how do I know he'll receive me?" I just see it now. When he sees you come through the door, he takes the apron, wraps it around him, ties the strings, steps up to the table and says, "What are you hungry for? Here's the menu."
Whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it thee. And I know we stammer and stumble and say, I can't pronounce that justification name and that sanctification and that word redemption and reconciliation. That's too big for me to pronounce. He said, that's all right. Let me worry about the legal terms. You just come and dine. By the way, don't worry about the check. You don't ever pay when you eat at home. And Jesus says, it's all on me. Here's how I know whether or not you're walking with Jesus or not. By how much you make people pay for your love. Because Jesus doesn't charge for his love. I'll forgive all your mistakes, Jesus says. Just come home. He'll go get the fatted. Notice the text says the fatted calf. Not a fatted calf. He didn't say just go out and find the fattest calf. They knew which one he was talking about. Say, well, how did he know? Because he fed it. Ever since that boy left, he fed that calf with a purpose that when he comes back, that's the one we're going to kill. You can stand. So all I ask today, tell you, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. Come home. God's calling. Softly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling. Jesus made it plain that he would accept you if you came home. So why don't you step out by faith today that what the word says is true. Don't take it on anybody else's authority. I don't think anybody has any authority here that would ever trump the word. I believe the word of God is the authority in this service today. So if you're hungry, eat at home. But when you come to church, you get a taste of what serving Jesus is really all about. So come home, tenderly, softly. Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let your hurt or your pain or the brokenness of the past or who will accept or reject you. Don't let that happen. Don't listen to that, because if you do, you never will get back. Because it's not the Father's house. The Bible didn't say
came to himself and went back to the Father's house. And the Bible never says that. It said he came to himself and he got up out of there and he came back to the Father. He said, I will go to my Father. And there's a difference between the Father's house and the Father. Unfortunately, sometimes that can be a pretty big difference. You don't always meet the Father when you come to the house. Sometimes you meet the elder brother, and that's not always a good thing. But today, I believe if you'll come home, you're going to see the Father, and he's waiting for you. And the light's still on, and the apron is all around you, and he's ready to serve you dinner at Homesick Restaurant. So all you got to do is ask, give me water from the wells of Bethlehem. Give me that water today. Oh, give me the water that I used to drink, the joy that I used to have, the peace, the enjoyment. You say, well, I can't have it back again. Well, I don't know what's in your way, but that's not what the book says. I believe you can have it all back, just like you know you can have it. So I want us, everyone, to bow our head, close our eyes. We're going to pray right now and repent together, and we're going to ask that the Lord would forgive us. And I want you to just pray, God, forgive me. I come before you humbly today, Lord. I come before your altar, and I place myself upon it, and I ask that not my will, but thine be done. Tell the world in your prayer right now, I'm coming home, devil. I'm coming home, world. I've had enough. I don't want any more. So many people leave the church and they find out the world's a rough place. But the good news is you can come home right now. So lift up your voice and say, God, I'm coming home. You don't have to articulate all of these legal terms and words and redemption and sanctification and justification. Though those are great terms, and I rejoice in every one of them as I study them and learn about them. You don't have to know all about that to get saved. You just got to want Jesus to get saved. Jesus will save you if you'll just give him a chance. You repent and he'll forgive you. You get baptized in his name and he'll wash your sins away. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and you'll speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. Just as sure as I'm here, he'll do it. He's done it for all of us and he'll do it for you. Now, saints of God, I want you to lift your hands together with those that are around you. And I want you to just begin to praise him and say, God, I receive it today. I'm coming home. I receive it today. Let the Holy Ghost come on me. Saints of God, begin to pray. Begin to pray.
For above all else, I must be saved.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us if you have any questions. We would be delighted to hear from you, and we can be found at firstpent.org. That is FIRSTPENT.org. And we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.